Even though the Pleiadians come from another dimension, they're here to help you awaken to the deity within. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
The Pleiadians love to talk of energy, frequencies, and light. Try to imagine, if you can, what you would feel like if some entity came to you and began speaking of the mysteries of the universe. Would you not feel special? Would you not feel as though you were supremely important? Would you ever doubt what you heard? Well, the truth of the matter is that Leah Shapiro, and we mentioned her last time from her book, Leah Shapiro did not doubt the message that she heard. The Pleiadians spoke to her of the energy and frequency of all matter. They explained how these ripples of energy could appear to be a solid rock, yet by manipulating the ripples of energy, the rock can disappear from one place and appear in another. Of course, they relate that they do not expect Shapiro to understand, but in time she'll grasp more and more. Well, they take the time to reveal to her the job that she's been chosen to accomplish, and they said, "Your job is twofold. Since you are an extension of light, coming from the Creator at the beginning, you shine like a beacon throughout all of time. You will open up portals of energy that are closed or have been closed. Once these portals are open, the darkness will not be allowed to enter, for this domain is totally yours, and gateways will be created that lead to other dimensions. Nothing harmful will be allowed into these other places. Only more and more light will come until it spreads like a shimmering cover over all." Now, portals were discussed in another book I wrote called Demons in Disguise, and they appear to be just that, portals that connect our world to the spiritual realm. Do they exist? Well, who can know? We can guess or choose to believe that they exist, but it's difficult to prove from Scripture, though there may be some clues. Now, apparently, according to the Pleiadians, the reason they need more and more of these portals opened up is because as each new portal opens, it allegedly allows more light to flow through them. So also do the Pleiadians themselves become flooded with this light. Their goal, then, is to become fully saturated with pure light as the beings above them are so permeated. Gee, what could these Nephilim demons possibly be referring to here, right? Of course, you've also noticed how they have reversed things so that they are in the light or are the light and anything opposed to them is darkness. Their utmost desire is to enlighten us, and that's I-N-L-I-G-H-T-E-N, as they tell Shapiro on page 64 of her book. Now, though they've tried throughout her life in particular to get her attention, there were too many times when she either did not hear them or ignored them. However, because the Pleiadians are so inherently patient, and one would almost say loving, they continued, persevering in the face of the potential of complete extinction of all that dwells on the earth. Now, what actually becomes actually annoying is how often the Pleiadians come right out and deny the truth of Scripture, and yet they are not questioned by Leah Shapiro. Here's a quote. "We would like to tell you that, yes, God still does speak to people in their hearts, and not only through books. There are many that quote Scripture upon Scripture from the Bible or from other holy books, believing that they also speak God's mind. Yes, they may be doing just that, but others are also. Know that God, the ultimate spirit and your creator, created you and still lives and speaks as one spirit through you. By closing off your mind to the voice of God, you shut out much information that is vital to your evolvement. Again, we must warn you at this point that all the voices you may hear within you and even outside yourself are not the voice of the ultimate Creator. There are many voices." Unquote. Now, the Pleiadians don't stop there as they explain how to know the difference between the good voices and the bad ones. And here's what they say, quote, You may ask, how is it that you will know the true one? Well, as children of light, you will always know the truth. It is those creations which are not of the light that will have difficulty. They will make mistakes, and they will flounder. They will search for answers within and without, but will never really find that which they seek in this lifetime, unquote. Now, ultimately, of course, the Pleiadians are trying to undo all that Christianity may have done in Leo Shapiro's mind. It obviously will not do to have a Pleiadian follower pulled in two different directions, so it's important to negate, or at least cast doubt on, aspects of Christian thought, which may continue to lie deep within Shapiro's mind. Now, the Pleiadians go on to explain that Shapiro will know when she has met someone who is from darkness as opposed to light. These people will tell her that her dreams and visions are evil and wrong. They will try to squelch her curiosity with respect to learning more from the Pleiadians. These people must be avoided at all costs. So it is that the authentic Christian who tries to pull people like Shapiro away from this deception that she believes in, they'll be seen as narrow, wrong, evil, afraid, confining, and all the rest. The Pleiadians continue chiding and castigating authentic Christians. They refer to them as holy, with quotation marks, men and women, stating that these individuals are themselves deceived. These, of course, should also be avoided. Now, if Shapiro listens to her inner self, she will intuitively know the truth. Note how the Pleiadians have created pity for Christians. If it was not tragically sad, it would be humorous the way in which the Pleiadians even refer to themselves. And remember, these are Nephilim demons as quote-unquote lesser gods. Now, of course, to Shapiro, they're not referring to themselves, but pointing out other beings. In reality, they are referring to themselves. But how would Shapiro know that, since it's clear that she doubts not one word spoken to her by the Pleiadian Nephilim demons? Here's some more. Quote, "What you should know at this point is that many of the lesser god are troubled. Yes, we call them gods, and their images have been fashioned from many substances, and their shapes and forms exist all over the world. You may see them even in children's cartoons and toys. In many countries around the world, ancient people worship these gods. Even today, they continue to make their likenesses. As these ugly reptilian and bird-like creatures represent the lesser evil gods, please know they are ultimately not the supreme god at all, but they did and still do give birth to their own creations," unquote. Well, Shapiro is then told that these beings continue to exist, yet they normally appear in human form. In short, the Pleiadians pretend that they're on the side of the true light, you know, as God is light, yet in reality they are, of course, darkness. It's interesting to see how much these spiritual entities wind up giving away to Shapiro. Now, as they tell her, this information in the wrong hands could create many major problems for them, but they want to take that chance because of how important Shapiro and others like her is for them. Reading through her book reminds me of the time I went through a phase where I thought I could be captain of my own fate. It was during the time between the point of my conversion and when I lost faith in my ability to know what was true about God or the Bible. During this period, I succumbed to the temptation to begin reading what were called self-help books. This was very early in the 1980s, and the concept of the New Age books had not really come completely to the fore, so these books, while they were being printed, fell under the self-help category of the bookstores. I found a number of books by a man named Maxwell Maltz. At the time, I was not aware that his background was in cosmetic surgery. I only knew him as the psycho-cybernetics guy. Well, I purchased two of his books dealing with this subject, which was said to allow the individual to control the circumstances of their own life and existence. For me, the time I spent with Maltz's books was not long at all. Looking back, though, I realized that these books were every bit Eastern mystical as the books that claim to be Eastern mystical today. He spoke of controlling your destiny through out-of-body experiences, sending thought waves and patterns to control situations, people, or both. Yep. I was a regular New Ager myself, or at least becoming one at that point, but fortunately for me, God squashed that very quickly by creating a real boredom within toward those methods. I do remember at one point going through the motions of trying to soul travel, and while lying on my bed, instead of falling asleep as I would normally have done, the thoughts and images in my brain became more vivid than I had ever experienced. Normally in sleep, you know, we can have very vivid dreams, some so real that we wake up with a start from them. I was beginning to experiencing that, then while lying on my bed with my eyes wide open, and after having pulled away from that whole arena and realizing what continued experimentation might have resulted in, I confessed my sin to the Lord, and He cleansed me from it. The only time I look at those books that like that now is for research while writing one of my own. Now, the Pleiadians taught Shapiro that the proper vibrations will increase a person's receptivity to light. The more light a person has, the less they will fear. Antiquated religions, like, of course, Christianity, create fear of God in people. And because of this, more light is lost and darkness takes over. These individuals wind up not being able to have an original thought, apparently. The idea is that the more light a person absorbs, the more that person is truly free from darkness. The freer they are from darkness, the less they will fear evil, God, or other things. It is fear that keeps people bound, apparently. Never mind that the Bible tells us throughout that we should fear God. And as my pastor says, fearing God means fearing God. Even believers should fear God to some extent. This is more than having a healthy respect or reverence for someone or something. You know, when John saw Jesus in the book of Revelation, he crumpled to the ground because of his own uncleanness. Ezekiel also, as well as numerous other prophets of men of God, experienced the same type of fear and feelings of wretchedness. Because we are believers, this does not automatically remove our sin nature. It still exists, as does our corrupt flesh, until we see Christ in the next life. When we do, we'll be like Him, according to John. Fearing God because of who He is and the absolute power He wields is something that should be the normal existence of every authentic believer in this life. Now, of course, the Pleiadians tell us the exact opposite of this. Ultimately, they want human beings to open the doors of their heart and mind to them, which will grant those beings, those demons, greater access to the affairs of this world. The greater number of human beings who give them access, the greater their collective ability to control not only the lives of those humans, but the events and situations in this world, because they will be doing it essentially from within people, even if they do not wind up possessing them directly. It could include possession, but might also simply occur through manipulation of thoughts and beliefs. In effect, the people who are motivated this way will be doing things of their own choice, their own volition, which makes it easier for the Nephilim demons. In that way, they'll have access to the person's thoughts and feelings, and because of that, they will be able to exercise an overall control of that person's life and the lives of the people they touch. You know, the Pleiadians are insistent on a number of things, which they tend to repeat to Leah Shapiro. They need her to be a willing participant in and a receptacle of the information and truth, quote-unquote, they provide her. Once they gain anyone's trust, the rest is smooth sailing. If and until such a point when their actual identities and motives are seen by individuals who have placed their trust and motives in them. You know, this is really interesting. I can go on, and we're still going to talk a little bit more about Pleiadians in the coming episodes here, in the coming broadcast. But I wanted to point this out. As Christians, we are told to test the spirits. Don't believe everything you hear. If you hear it, it doesn't mean it's true. Test it. Test it. We need to put on our faith goggles and our faith glasses. And we can only do that by knowing His Word. The more of God's Word we know, the better off we will be. We need to open our hearts and our minds to God through His Word, not the erratic and evil message of Pleiadians who are nothing more than Nephilim demons masquerading as children of light. I'm Dr. Fred. Thanks for being with me today, and may God show you how blessed you truly are. Hi, this is Dr. Fred of Study Grow Know. All of my books are available as free downloadable PDFs, but if you'd like a hard copy of one of my most recent books, Under Grace, simply request your copy by sending any donation amount to us at Study Grow Know, P.O. Box 1592, Hampton, Georgia 30228. That's P.O. Box 1592, Hampton, Georgia 30228. Your donations help keep Study Grow Know on the air and expanding into other venues. Thank you.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.